Hello and welcome to JP Morgan's At Any Rate podcast channel. I am Luis Oganes, Head of Global Macro Research. We are excited to let our listeners know that we are expanding the breadth of At Any Rate beyond research insights on rates and credit markets. And we'll now also include discussions on our views on currencies, commodities, and emerging markets. We thought it would be valuable for our listeners to highlight broader insights from our research bench, given the interconnected and fast-moving nature of markets. Today's discussion will focus on emerging markets and will be led by my colleague, Johnny Golden, Head of EM Sovereign and Local Markets Strategy. Over to you, Johnny.
Thanks, Luis. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Emerging Market Focus podcast, a place for us to discuss recent developments and key issues of focus in the emerging market fixed income asset class. I'm Johnny Golden from the Emerging Market Strategy team here at JP Morgan, and I'm joined by Saad Siddiqui, another senior emerging market strategist from the group. We'll start by talking about emerging markets overall and then drill into an issue where we're seeing a lot of investor focus at the moment. So, Saad, thanks for joining.
Hi, Johnny. Great to be on.
So our discussion this week comes against a background where emerging markets have been somewhat subdued so far this year, even though there's generally been a reassessment of the upcoming Fed hiking cycle, which has led US rate curves to reprice, risk market volatility has increased this year. And that's typically a more negative environment for EM fixed income, which is weaker year to date, but not by as much as we would have expected. Now, there are several plausible explanations for this. One is around short covering of short EM FX positions coming into this year. That looks to have largely played out already. Second, fading Omicron risks and better growth data for certainly the fourth quarter. But so far, this has been more or less in line in terms of growth with our forecast revisions have been largely constant. We also, people discuss the fact that the market has priced already four Fed hikes coming into this year. But as we can see, the Fed itself can be a source of risk still, and the front of the curves is repricing. And finally, EM FX carry is acting as a buffer, some would say, against the market volatility that we have seen more generally. And that theme of higher EM FX carry, we think will be with us through 2022. And so it's going to be the focus for us today of our discussion, and is something worth digging into, whether it can be a factor for us this year and is a factor already or not. So let's start with the groundwork here, Saad. When we're talking about EM FX carry and the carry on EM currencies, what exactly are we talking about?
So here, I think it's worth defining the terms, because carry can mean slightly different things to different people. In the context here, what we mean by the carry on EM currencies is simply put the interest rate or the yield that you earn when you buy an emerging market currency. And if you're an investor based in US dollars or in euros, what you really care about is the excess return that you earn on the EM currency over and above what you might earn in dollars or euro cash. So in that case, the carry would be the yield that you earn on the EM currency minus the equivalent 3-month US Treasury bill yield or the 3-month OIS rate.
At the moment, are you thinking that EM FX carry is high or low in a historical context?
So here is where some context, I think, would be useful. For most of the past decade, the carry on EM FX was trending lower. And that's true whether you look at it in absolute terms or if you look at it as a spread to US rates. And when the COVID crisis hit and we had this surge of monetary policy easing all over the world, that rate went even lower to levels that were historically really very abnormally low, because you had central banks that were erstwhile high-yielding central banks, such as in Brazil or in South Africa, they were able to cut their rates down to 2% to 3.5%, levels which were really unimaginable for people previously. But you've now had a bit of a comeback over the last 6 to 12 months. Many emerging market central banks have been aggressively raising their policy rates. It's been in response to the surge of inflation that we've seen globally. And at the moment, if you look at EM carry, it's as a spread to US rates, which is really what we should care about. It's back to its averages of the past decade or so. So we've gone from very abnormally low levels to levels which are a bit more typical of emerging markets. And that's gotten people excited. And it's led to people saying those four most dangerous words in the markets, which is this time is different.
So if we think then about using carry as a sort of investment guide about when to be long or short EM currencies overall versus the US dollar, most people would tend to think about nominal carry, as you have described, simply how much am I earning in carry interest. Is that a useful signal generally to position in EM currencies overall?
Well, this is where things get interesting. Intuitively, you would think that the interest rate on offer or the carry on offer in EM currencies is a pretty good guide for future total returns that you can earn. But what we find is it's actually not a very reliable indicator. And the relationship between returns and your interest rate is actually really quite weak. And that's because there's obviously a lot of other things going on as well, whether it's commodity prices or growth and so on. But carry on its own is not really that much of a useful indicator for trying to predict what returns are going to be over the next, say, 6 or 12 months.
What would happen if we used maybe a somewhat theoretically more satisfying measure like real carry, so adjusting for inflation? Does that work any better?
Yeah, so when we try to dig a little bit deeper and we adjust that carry differential by the inflation differential, which is what you might call the real carry, then you start to get results which are a little bit better. They're not a lot better, but they do offer somewhat more satisfying results. And there you find that as the real carry differential on EM currencies increases vis-a-vis the US, you find that returns tend to improve. There's still quite a wide range there, you know, so you can have quite a lot of dispersion or returns even then, but it does work a little bit better. But where it really works well is in predicting the relative performance of EM currencies. So rather than looking at EM currencies against the dollar, if you want to run a horse race and try to predict which currencies are going to be outperforming and which ones will be underperforming, the real carry is actually a pretty good guide. And this is something that we have written about over the past years, and it's actually been a pretty consistent indicator through the cycle as being a good guide. And this is why we think this is a very good discriminator for those investors looking at relative value strategies within EM rather than trying to predict where EM currencies will go against the dollar per se.
Okay, so if we wanted to trade within EM and select currencies long and short, we should be looking at real carry. But coming then back to this question of how about the asset class overall, at current levels of real carry, does this tell us that we should expect positive EM currency returns ahead?
Well, first of all, let me caveat what I'm going to say with the fact that we don't have a lot of data for EM currency returns. We have about 20 years worth of performance, which may sound like a lot, but it's really not when you compare to the history of returns people have available to them for equities or for developed market sovereign bonds, where you have several decades, if not centuries worth. of data. But what we can say for the past couple of decades of history, where we do have the data for EM currency returns, that there does seem to be a bit of a threshold effect. So for average levels of real carry differentials, you don't have very reliable results. But once you get past this threshold, and that threshold we have is 300 basis points. So when the real interest rate in the emerging markets is 300 basis points above the real interest rate on offer in the US, beyond that, you can expect to get mostly positive returns. And at the moment, we are at 500 basis points. So if all else were equal, one could say, with all the caveats, that you know, you can be a little bit constructive on EM currencies and expect positive total returns over the next 12 months, given where real carry is at the moment, but it is with all else equal.
Yeah, so let's, obviously dangerous words there, all else equal, because the other thing that we're obviously focusing on at the moment is an upcoming Fed hiking cycle. And it looks like the FOMC yesterday guided towards March, which is our own economist forecast for the first rate hike. How does EMFX then do as we factor that in typically into a Fed hiking cycle?
So yeah, the Fed hiking cycle really is the elephant in the room here for all emerging market assets. And history here is, you know, despite the fact we don't have a lot of Fed hiking cycles to go by, but if you look at the performance of EM assets more generally, going back the last few Fed hiking cycles, and you can include the taper tantrum, even though it wasn't a cycle in itself, but as another observation of a policy shift by the Fed, we do have consistent results. And those consistent results suggest that in the run-up to the Fed hiking cycle and in the immediate aftermath, i.e., after the, you know, within the first couple of quarters after the first Fed rate hike, you do see pretty consistent weakness of all EM assets. So not just EM currency, but you see it in the broader EM fixed income universe as well. And that's, I think, you know, a real reason to be cautious here, given it seems that the Fed is going to be getting ready for liftoff in the next few months.
So if we try and tie those two things together, then do you think that the real carry that's currently available in EMFX is enough of a signal, or will be enough of a factor to save EMFX from the negative effects of the Fed hiking cycle, which will be starting shortly?
So we can give a two-part answer to that question. I think in the initial phases of a Fed hiking cycle, one which we're just about to enter in the next couple of months, to me, the EM carry argument is not a very convincing one, because it's, first of all, like I said, the relationship isn't really that strong. And second, the Fed hiking cycle is, you know, a pretty important juncture for EM assets, where you do have trends which seem to repeat consistently over Fed hiking cycles. That said, we also find that once the Fed hiking cycle is in a more mature phase, so after the first couple of rate hikes, when the market is a bit more comfortable with the pace and the magnitude of hikes, at that point, EM currencies can actually perform quite well. And you can even see outright appreciation of EM currencies against the dollar. So I think those threshold effects, which I mentioned before, of high real interest rates. Well, high real interest rates are going to be with us, or the high real interest rate differentials are going to be with us in emerging markets for the foreseeable future. So my best guess would be that once we're through the first couple of Fed rate hikes and we're no longer getting big surprises to inflation globally, at that point, that real interest rate differential you know, the premium in real rates that you get in EM currencies over the US is going to start to look much more interesting. And at that point, I think you could see EM currencies perform better.
Thanks for that, Saad.
So, Johnny, keeping with this theme of all else not being equal, we also have simmering geopolitical tensions, which have been dominating the headlines. And that's really about the tensions that we're seeing between Russia and Ukraine. So how are you thinking about the implications of that for emerging markets more broadly? Should we see an escalation there?
Yeah, so geopolitical risks, I think, are a fact of life for us in EM fixed income. They are one of the more difficult risks to position around because of the lack of information on which to base decisions. We have quite asymmetric outcomes as well. If you look at the scenarios around the tensions for Eastern Europe, they've clearly weighed on Russian and Ukrainian markets over the past months, and they've been escalating more recently. To be honest, so far, the spillover to the rest of EM fixed income markets has been quite limited. There are obviously scenarios where there's going to be broader contagion via economic uncertainty, commodity prices, etc. And many of our colleagues have been highlighting some of those channels in recent pieces as well. Given our existing views, certainly for EM currencies, we have not felt the need to adjust our thinking around them, but we're obviously monitoring the situation there very closely.
Yeah, that could really be one of the wildcard events for the next couple of months, it seems.
Yes, so that brings us to the end of this At Any Rate Emerging Market Focus podcast. Thank you, Saad, for joining today and sharing your thoughts. And thank you all for listening. And we hope you come back again and listen to the next one with us as well. Thank you. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan Research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2022 JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on the 27th of January, 2022.